We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul here. Welcome to the show. Paul Douglas joining you. Jordana Green is, I don't know what the word would be, bothering people in Puerto Rico.
As far as we know, she's not incarcerated.
Would we even know if she had been jailed?
I don't know. That's why I said as far as we know.
Okay.
We're hoping.
There is freedom of speech.
That she hasn't
there,
been incarcerated anymore.
Right? I mean, Jordana has this knack for speaking her mind, and I love her for that. She doesn't leave anything to the imagination. It's just all out there. And I think she and handsome husband are having a good time. No kiddies involved, just the two of them down there thawing out. And Dan Cook heading to Arizona tomorrow. Gonna miss you, man. You know it's in the 40s and snowing in Scottsdale.
Right.
That general area. You know that.
Yeah, I'm not going to Scottsdale, so I'm good. Thanks, though.
Are you gonna send photos?
I'll probably be posting them on social media. I'm not going to send them directly to you. I mean, that's
too in your face.
All right, I'm not that kind of guy.
But I'd be okay with that. Coming from you, I'd be okay with that.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm still not going to do it. But
so I want to talk a little bit about Senator Klobuchar performing poorly. Now, granted, it's still early, but what's going on in the polls in Iowa? Not showing up in even the top five or six candidates on the Democrat side. And a daylight saving time, I'm fairly convinced after looking at some of the data that we should be enjoying daylight saving time year-round. The whole back and forth, I'm not sure that still serves a purpose. At one point, I think it did serve a purpose. World War I, World War II, saving energy, you could make a case for it. But today, And not a good time to be in the PR department at Boeing in Seattle. A number of countries are grounding these new 737 MAX 8 airplanes after this Ethiopian airline crash. So we talk a little bit about that. Dan Luna is the meteorologist in charge at the Weather Service in the Twin Cities. He joins us at 3:35 to talk about river flooding, what has changed with the rain in the forecast starting tomorrow. Peaking Wednesday, continuing into Thursday, what are we looking at? It seems to me like there will be short-term street flooding, urban flooding possibilities this week, and not just in the metro. Some small streams may quickly rise, but in terms of the big tributaries, the Minnesota, the Mississippi, the Red River, my understanding is that any problems, should they come, and they probably will come, would be first, second week of April. But I want to make sure that timing is correct, even rough timing. So many factors in play. And hydrology, river forecasting, is a science within a science. Most meteorologists don't have a clue what goes into predicting how high the Mississippi River will get in Savage or St. Paul. Of course, the Mississippi doesn't flow through Savage, Paul. That's the Minnesota River.
Idiot.
At 4:10, Scott Lamberg, he's president of the Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association. He joins us to talk about the auto show, another rite of spring. What are some of the trends? What's new? Electrification, is that a fad? Is it a trend? Is it real? Autonomous vehicles? Will our grandkids look back and ask us about the days we actually drove vehicles ourselves? Oh, how quaint that must have been. How did you do that? We go beyond the headlines at 4:35, and Dan Cook, kind enough to join me there. Steve Thompson filling in for Mike Max, Hurricane Maxie, who is taking a couple of days off, which I find amazing. That guy has only one speed, fast forward. So I'm glad Mike is taking a couple of well-earned days off, anxious to talk about a couple of things sports-related with Steve Thompson. Of course, if you didn't listen today on CCO, why weren't you listening? Preseason play, the Twins lost 3-0 against the Tigers. We are very excited to be welcoming Henry Lake. Tonight is his first edition of The Late Show on WCCO Radio. That starts at 9 p.m. And we're going to talk to Henry Lake at 5:10. Mike Clough joins us from the Twins to talk about the new Twins Pass. And the more I look at this, the more excited I am about this concept of kind of all-you-can-eat Twins games on a month-by-month basis, whether you want standing room, upper deck, lower deck. They're on to something with this, and we want to give Mike some time at 5:20 to explain exactly how these new Twins Passes will work. So what's that 5:35? Why isn't that it has nothing? Is this where I'm going to be singing to listeners at
home? Yeah, we thought you'd just, you know, do some show tunes and
Broadway show tunes. Well, okay. It'll be a short show. That's okay. All right. Anyway, so let's back it up. Daylight saving time saves lives, energy, prevents crime. Politicians in Washington, California, and Florida are now proposing to move daylight saving time year-round. And Congress, according to an author of a story at Quartz, should seize on this momentum on a statewide basis to move the entire nation to year-round daylight saving time. Move all clocks forward permanently. And the author, Steve Calandrio, makes some compelling points. Five ways that Americans' lives would improve immediately. Point one, lives would be saved. Darkness kills, and darkness in the evening is deadlier than darkness in the morning. I did not know that. The evening rush hour, twice as fatal as morning rush hour for various reasons. More people on the road, more alcohol in drivers' bloodstreams, people hurrying to get home, more children enjoying outdoor unsupervised play. Fatal vehicle on pedestrian crashes increase threefold when the sun goes down. So daylight saving time brings an extra hour of sunlight into the evening to mitigate those risks. Standard time has just the opposite impact, moving sunlight into the morning hours. Study by Rutgers demonstrated that 343 lives per year could be saved by moving to year-round daylight saving time. Crime would decrease. Criminals strongly prefer to do their work in darkness. I guess that's hardly a bulletin. That's hardly breaking news. Darkness is a friend of crime. Moving sunlight into the evening hours has a far greater impact on the prevention of crime than it does in the morning. Especially true for crimes committed by juveniles, which peak in the after-school and early evening hours.
The juvenile part I get to a degree. The rest of it, wouldn't criminals just shift? I mean, we're not getting more
light. No, but the criminals are tired. At 6 a.m., they want to sleep in, too.
So they would nap a little bit more during the day.
I don't know.
I don't know that I buy that one.
Look, the Brits did a study in 2013,
well,
Mr. Cook.
Problem. Yeah.
Improved lighting in
Better
the evening
trust the Brits.
Could reduce the crime rate by up to 20%. Energy would be saved. Okay, the original justification for the creation of daylight saving time was to save energy. In World War I and World War II, during the OPEC oil crisis back in 73, when the sun is out later in the evening, peak energy loads are reduced, and so is the need for more energy. Having more sun in the evening requires not only less electricity to provide lighting, but it reduces the amount of oil and gas required to heat homes and businesses when people need that energy the most. Avoiding clock switches improves sleep. The back and forth, I think, is what makes people nutty. Just let's figure something out and stick with it. You know, springing forward, going back, it wreaks havoc with people's sleep cycles. Heart attacks increase 24% in the week after we spring forward. This week, a 24% increase. There's even an uptick in heart attacks in November when we fall back. The major financial indexes, the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, the NASDAQ, averaged negative returns on the Monday trading day following both clock switches, although I think the market was up today, so maybe that doesn't hold up, at least this year. And finally, Dan Cook, recreation and commerce flourish in daylight and are hampered by evening darkness. People like to shop when it's light out.
The kind of recreation you're talking about, doesn't it?
Well, I'm talking going to a store and buying stuff.
Well, I mean, you didn't say that initially.
Greasing the cogs of capitalism.
Recreation and conversation. I don't, you know, I can mean a lot of things, Paul.
And here I thought your mind was on baseball.
It is. Hitting a home run.
The home run. Oh, yeah. Americans are less willing to go out and shop in the dark. Not my wife. It's not very easy to catch a baseball in darkness either. Is that true? I guess so. These activities far more prevalent in the early evening than they are in the early morning hours, so sunlight is not nearly as helpful then. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, as well as most outdoor recreational interests, favor extending daylight saving time. Research shows that sunlight far more important to Americans' health, efficiency, and safety in the early evening than it is in the early morning. Now, and I think overall it makes sense, Dan, to stick with daylight saving time. The one argument, the one thing that does concern me is that more darkness early in the morning, I think, increases the risk to kids at the bus stop.
At least for a portion of the school year, yeah. I
mean, right.
Not the entirety, but yeah, for a portion of the school year. Certainly, that's a consideration for sure.
So it's going to be hard to come up with a fix.
There are states in the country that don't.
Arizona.
Arizona's one of
Hawaii,
them.
Hawaii, I think.
I think there's a part of Indiana, I believe, that does
yeah.
it. So, you know, in Arizona, it's purely an energy thing, right? Because, you know, they've got furnaces running or air conditioning running basically all year round. So it's purely an energy-saving tactic for them. And so, yeah, there's certainly that argument to be made, even in a state like Minnesota, where, you know, maybe the climate's obviously a lot different, but you don't hear massive amounts of school kids getting hit by buses or cars, you know, in those states. So certainly something to consider, but I don't know that it would stop the movement if folks wanted to do it.
You think standard time will go away? I hope so.
I'd be for it.
I hope we stick with daylight saving time. That makes a lot of sense to me. Oh, Amy, Senator Klobuchar, and granted, there's a poll for everyone, but a recent poll casts some doubt, perhaps, on how things are going in the campaign so far with Senator Klobuchar. That and not a great time to be working at Boeing with these planes going down. What on earth is going on? We look at that next. Okay. Media has a habit of overemphasizing polls, maybe getting hoodwinked, suckered by polls. Most of the media, the traditional media, underestimated the Trump effect, right? Most people wrote him off. Well, I think it's probably premature to be writing off Senator Amy Klobuchar. I think it's still early in the process, but we found it interesting that a recent poll by the Des Moines Register and CNN had Joe Biden as the top choice of all Iowa caucus goers. This poll was released this weekend. Likely Iowa caucus goers. Joe Biden at the top, 27% of all the respondents. Although Biden's advisors have signaled that he intends to run for president, Joe Biden has yet to announce his candidacy publicly. Next came Bernie Sanders, a close second, 25% of Iowa caucus responders would give Senator Sanders their first vote, their first choice. Representative Beto O'Rourke, didn't look so good. Only 5% caucus goers now call him their first choice for president. That's down from 11% back in December. It is interesting to me, Biden and Sanders really at opposite ends of the ideological spectrum. I think Joe Biden trying to move in a more moderate direction, maybe peel off some moderate Republicans and independents. Bernie Sanders, nobody can accuse him of being a moderate. By the way, number three, Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. She came in third. She was the top choice of 9% of respondents in Iowa. Followed by Senator Kamala Harris of California, 7% of respondents. But she has soaring favorability ratings. And Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, Kirsten Gillibrand from New York, and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota have struggled to make an imprint and an impact, according to this poll. What's bizarre, the poll asked respondents about their policy priorities. Progressive ideas such as raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans, the climate initiative known as the Green New Deal, and a Medicare for All healthcare system all enjoyed widespread support among likely Iowa caucus goers. This comes even as most voters preferred Joe Biden, who, again, has billed himself as more of a moderate, and yet the Democratic Party seems to be lurching a little more to the left, hard left. So it'll be interesting. Polls, polls, polls. We'll keep you posted here, but I wouldn't bet against Senator Klobuchar. We'll see how this evolves. What's going to be her moment? Does she have a moment where she breaks through and reaches sort of national consciousness? When we come back, if your spidey senses are acting up, if you're paranoid about flooding, I think you probably have good reason to be paranoid. We try to separate fact from fiction and figure out how paranoid we should be with an interview with Dan Luna. He's the chief at the Weather Service here in the Twin Cities. He's up next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Paul here. Jora's off. She is back Friday. She's in Puerto Rico. On the beach, baking, who knows, having her fifth umbrella drink? I hope so. Dan Cook is heading to Arizona. Everybody's leaving me. Everybody is leaving me. We were just talking about footwear. This is the kind of week you want to borrow shoes from a friend you don't like very much. Because, man, unless you have waders, it's going to be a mess out there in the coming days. No doubt about that. Forget potholes. We're talking craters. I passed a few craters on the way in. Felt like I was on the surface of the moon. I think I saw the LEM, too. I think I saw some Apollo artifacts as I was driving in. And there's concern, too. According to the Star Tribune, Winona, Minnesota, a ceiling above the pool at a Holiday Inn Express caved in. Plainview, Minnesota, a roof came down on a man's collection of classic cars. Boy, is that karma? Karma? And in Eau Claire, the roof at a Holiday gas station caved in, as did that of a fire station in White Lake, Wisconsin. So, a lot of snow, a lot of water locked up in that snow, and here we are going into a very wet week with rain in the forecast and 40s in the forecast, and my initial visceral reaction was, this is way above my pay grade. I'm way out of my league talking about flooding. It is truly a science within a science. Meteorology, we try to predict the future state of the atmosphere, but we're not in the business, most of us, of predicting how high various tributaries are going to reach. So I reached out to my friend, Dan Luna. He is meteorologist in charge of the Twin Cities National Weather Service. He has an amazing team down there, including a team that does nothing but forecast flood levels on various rivers. Dan, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Paul, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And I know the folks, how many people do you have at the North Central River Forecast Center?
When we're fully staffed, there are 19 people who work in that part of our office.
And tell me what they do.
They forecast rivers and a few lake levels extending in a large geographic area from the Dakotas over to Michigan and then south to St. Louis. So the upper Mississippi River drainage, the Hudson Bay drainage, and the Red River Valley drainage.
Okay. And you're looking, they are looking at a multitude of variables and factors. And I'm just curious, the last time we had significant flooding that I'm aware of was about 5 years ago. The spring of 2014, the polar vortex winter, and then it rained heavily. And I remember that was the spring that many lakes flooded. People living along lakes were just flabbergasted.
Yeah, we had high lake levels for quite some time after that.
What's the analog? Is there an historical analog for this year?
Well, each of these floods and each of these winter and early springs that lead up to a flood really are different animals, but this one has some bearing to 1965, so quite a long time
ago. Whoa.
Well, some bearing to 2001, also a while ago, some bearing.
But when you say 65, I mean, chills go up my spine. Wasn't that was the worst flood, at least on the Minnesota and the Mississippi, was it not, or am I mistaken?
No, in most locations, you are correct on the Minnesota and Mississippi. It was the 1965 flood, and we actually have more snow on the ground right now. We have more water in that snowpack right now than we did in 1965. Now, in 1965, we featured a couple of more big storms that sent us over the edge. Now we have a big storm coming up for Wednesday.
Are you talking rainstorms?
Yeah, more rain for Wednesday. And I'm not sure what to... I know one of the events in 1965 was a snow event. I don't know about the last event in 1965. I'm more familiar with the 2001 event.
So, again, we have, what, about 3 to 5 inches of liquid water in the snowpack here, but it's more... over northern and western Minnesota, is it not?
Right. In general, what we're saying statewide, 4 to 6 with isolated pockets of, 6, 7, 8, and even 9 in places. So when we look at historical modeled, meaning this is what the model looks at, we can say that in the last 60-plus years, we're in the top 70 to 100 percentile statewide for the most water contained in the snowpack. When we look at snow depth in the state, we can say it's some of the most we've ever seen statewide. Just an incredible year for snow depth.
And we also have, 2 to 4 feet of frost in the ground. The soil moisture, 99th percentile for much of the area. We had a wet fall, so the soil is saturated. There's really nowhere for that melting snow to go but into our streets, into our streams, and eventually into our rivers.
That's very true. And, the first part of winter was not that wet. But when we look at from February 1st to today, we've been about 3 times what we should have. And when we look at the last couple of weeks or last 15 to 20 days, we've had 4 to 5 times the amount of rain we should have, or amount of precip we should have had in places. So it's really amplified up in the last 4 weeks.
So, and looking back, and I did a little bit of research, most of the major floods on the Minnesota and Mississippi and even the Red River occurred first. I mean, the peaks were first, second week of April. Now, we may have serious flooding later in March, but the flooding didn't peak until closer to mid-April for some of the big ones, including 65 in St. Paul. Can you even, are we at the point where you'd even want to give a wag as to, just a rough idea when the worst of the flooding might occur, or do we not have enough data?
Well, at this point, I don't think we have enough data. Certainly, we're not going to see the worst of the flooding in the next 2 weeks. That's just not likely. Once we get through this rainstorm Wednesday, Thursday, then temperatures are back down to the low, maybe mid-30s for an extended period for highs, and lows are below freezing. So
that helps, right? That puts a break on the snowmelt temporarily.
That does help. We would prefer to see the temperatures get warm enough to start melting some of the snow and send it to the tributaries of the Minnesota and Mississippi rivers and start getting the water out of the system. Our greatest concern is whatever rain falls on Wednesday and Thursday, that water never makes it to the tributaries or the big river, and it just stays locked up in fields, drainage ditches, because that's kind of like getting another, 12 inches of snow.
Oh, man. And short term, there may be some issues with street flooding, with this system that's coming in, over an inch of rain, maybe for the metro, more to the west. So do you envision some fairly significant street flooding, ponding of water in the coming days?
I would certainly expect that. I think it'd be more of an urban issue in places, where we have curbs and sewers and they're all plugged up with ice and the water just can't get there. We don't expect to see a whole lot of water in the Minnesota, Mississippi rivers. Maybe you could see some in the tributaries, but we just don't think we're going to get much water there before it gets cold again.
Any advice, last-minute advice for listeners in terms of what they can do, what they should do? Is it safe to say if you've experienced problems from river flooding or stream flooding in the past that you should pay extra close attention?
You better pay really close attention if you live in an area and you've experienced flooding in the past. And even if you don't live along a river or a stream, if you've had overland flooding in the past, that's very likely this year, and you better be prepared.
Well, you guys have an amazing website. It's www.weather.gov/MPX. Just Google Twin Cities National Weather Service if you haven't gone there. A wealth of great information. And I've noticed that there is now a flood watch, right, for central and southern Minnesota for street flooding and ponding?
That's exactly what that's for. Yes, that came out while we've been on the phone here. I heard my phone go off. And if you live in an area that floods, it may not be too late to buy flood insurance. I believe there's a 30-day window on that. I'm not sure, but it would be worth checking into.
Dan Luda, meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service, thank you. And we will be dipping into your expertise probably with increasing frequency in the weeks to come. We really appreciate the update, sir.
Well, you're welcome, Paul, and let's hope for an ideal melt. We've had them in the past, so it's certainly possible.
Yeah, fingers crossed. All right, thank you, my friend.
You bet.
Oy. So, we've got that. And yes, this flood watch, which has just been issued by the National Weather Service, it's in effect from Wednesday morning through Thursday evening. Most of central and southern Minnesota, and we're talking about rain and snowmelt leading to street flooding and ponding of water in low-lying areas. Temperatures warming into the 40s, even a shot at 50 by Thursday. An inch to an inch and a half of rain expected. Most of that is going to come Wednesday. Wednesday looks like the wettest day. And yes, this time around, the atmosphere warm enough for all rain. Except that the very tail end, maybe Thursday night, couple of hours of wet snow as winds pick up from the northwest. But by that time, most of the moisture cuts off. And again, quoting the Weather Service, many of the drainage systems are full of ice and snow. So any melting or runoff from the rain could lead to ponding of water in low-lying areas. It's going to be sloppy. We'll keep you posted. But again, word to the wise, if you've had flooding issues in the past, it's good to err on the side of caution and prepare as much as you can prepare. I heard a friend who has a boat on the St. Croix, and apparently he was contacted by his marina saying that they are preemptively moving some of the boats out of the marina and to higher ground. So trying to get out ahead of this thing, which I think is prudent under the circumstances, a high to very high threat of spring river flooding. So we'll keep you posted on that as developments change here. In the meantime, I'm looking for my information. Here it is, Dan. No Jordana to keep me straight. Wicks and Jewelers time is now 3:49. With decades of experience and a well-earned reputation, Wicks and is the best place to sell your vintage or pre-owned watch. By the way, Henry Lake joins us at 5:10, welcoming him to the CCO family. So tune in for that. Dan, it's 66 right now in Phoenix.
Perfect.
61 tomorrow, 90% chance of rain. Sorry about that, man. All right, we'll be back with more next on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.